time again, that's what keeps you coming back. Visit jackandrea.com for more information.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenaya Quinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and I am very happy to welcome our guest, Derek Deoria, who is the Executive Director of the Walworth County Economic Development Alliance, or WCEDA. And I'm seeing this program as sort of a state of economic development message for Walworth County. And I thought that we could do some overviews about what's happening in the area, delve into some of the programs that you have to support local businesses, and go from there. How does that sound?
That sounds great. And first, Jane, I want to just thank you for inviting me to speak on your program today.
Terrific. So the Economic Development Alliance, I'm sure listeners have heard about economic development organizations in just about every area in Wisconsin, I believe, has one. Is that true?
You know, a lot do. You're right. Not every county has one. And even within counties, some municipalities have their own. And so sometimes you'll hear something like a community development authority that might be a part of a particular community. But as far as how we're structured, I get a lot of questions about, oh, you work for the county. And so I have to clarify quite often. And so we work within the county, but we are a separate nonprofit agency. Our county is generous, and they do support, their support does provide about 30 to 35% of our funding. But then we do have general memberships, and then we have some other specific memberships for some of our programs that I know we'll talk about a little bit later. And then there's, we have programming income that we get through doing some contract work, sometimes for specific municipalities. Other times it's in conjunction with the Workforce Development Board through a program called WIOA. And other times it could be sponsorships for different events or different programs that we're doing. So just a mix of funding. But we are a small agency. Yeah, we're based on the Gateway Technical College campus in Elkhorn. We're very grateful for their support of that. It's a great location because it's almost equidistant throughout the county in terms of all the different, because it's a pretty large county
it
to cover
is.
In terms of the actual geography, and so it's nice to be right in the center there.
And let's talk about that kind of relationship with the various municipalities. It makes perfect sense that you've got a strong relationship with Walworth County itself and the government, and it being financed, like you say, 30%. I know from one of my past lives, it's kind of tough when you have a lot of small to medium-sized cities, but no one big city, like Kenosha with Cahaba. They have the city of Kenosha. They have Pleasant Prairie and a bunch of little ones. You're really kind of, well, you've got a lot of towns to answer to.
We
Let's
do.
Just
yeah,
leave it
you're
at
right.
That.
Well, it's true. And so I think the biggest city in terms of recognition and visibility would be Lake Geneva, but then we do have Elkhorn and Delavan and Whitewater that are almost comparable, really, in size. And so, but you're right, not one is a large enough city, and they each have a unique personality to them, so you try to cater to that. Not everybody has the same interests or needs in terms of what they want for economic development. So that's actually kind of the fun part of my job, is to getting to know each community and their personality and trying to work with them to see, how we can help make connections that help them achieve their goals.
Well, and just what you were saying, I'm envisioning Lake Geneva with all of the tourist attractions, the restaurants, the lake, a very different character than when I think of Whitewater. I think of a university town. I think of some of the research aspects. I think of industrial parks. And I know you have small and large industrial parks scattered throughout the county. Yowz. How do you approach them and figure out what it is they do need, and then how do you fill those needs? That'll be the next 40 minutes.
Yeah, no. Right. That's a big question. But, it is interesting because I think, for one, when you think of Walworth County, you think of tourism and hospitality.
And agriculture.
And agriculture. And so those are definitely two of our big economic drivers. I think one thing that you don't think of necessarily is manufacturing or our industrial base. And we actually have about 225 manufacturers throughout the county, which I think comes as a surprise to a lot of people. And so, you know, when you're talking with the communities, a lot of the communities, they want to develop a little bit more of their industrial base, in particular the manufacturing. So we'll look at their business parks or their industrial parks and what they have and the companies that are there and talk about, okay, what their needs are, where they can fill, and you start to work with them in terms of that. As far as the tourism, I mean, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of good tourism agencies in the county, and then even the chambers do a really great job with that. So in that case, we work with them to the chambers, I should say, and the visitors bureaus and the hospitality-related organizations to do more business education for their businesses that they work with. And so one of the things I wanted to mention is that this is going on to the second year now, but we created what we call a Three Drivers event series with the chambers, and it's been very successful. The first one that we did was called the Three Driving Factors of the Economy in Walworth County. Mm. So we featured agriculture, we featured hospitality and tourism, and then we featured manufacturing. And then we've done things on three driving components of social media, of workforce development. We have one coming up next week that is three building blocks of business success, where we partnered with WIBIC, which is a great organization that works in this region. And that's the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, which 30 years ago was founded to support women entrepreneurs, but now they work with both men and women, small and medium-sized businesses, great resource for our businesses in our county, and so we're trying to give them more visibility and connect the businesses with those resources. But, you know, getting back to your original question, how do you decide what they want? Well, a number of our towns have seen a decline in their downtown districts, and for a lot of them, that's their sense of community, and it also can help attract other businesses, other industrial businesses, other commercial businesses to the area. And so we've been working with almost all of the communities in one way or another on some downtown revitalization efforts. Most of them, you know, want assistance and, you know, ask for, you know, different resources that are available, and so we try to connect them with that.
What sort of resources are you able to connect them with?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So a number of, you know, of course, the one thing that always comes up, probably the biggest call that we get to our office is, okay, we're a business, and we think there are grant funds out there, so what kinds of grants are available? And there are grants, particularly for workforce training grants, and then in some cases there are community redevelopment or development grants that are available for small towns. Sometimes there are also grants for what they call brownfield situations where you might have a property that might have some contamination from a business that used to be their industrial business, but that business is gone now and they want to repurpose that for other uses. And so the state, and there are some federal grants as well that can help for cleaning those up. But in general, it's difficult just to get grants for just to start a business, a small business. So usually what we end up saying is, there aren't necessarily grants for that, but there are some really great resources for people in terms of business planning, and that would be through the SBA, Small Business mm-hmm. Association, and they have a number of partnerships or offices that they call the Small Business Development Centers. And so you have one at Parkside near here, you have one at Whitewater, you have a number of them scattered around the state. And one of the things that they're funded to do is work with small businesses to help them write a business plan, or if they've been in business for a while, to help them with a growth plan going forward. And I tell people a lot of times, sometimes that can be more useful to them than just getting a loan or a grant and not necessarily knowing how to utilize that. And in particular, if they're getting a loan where they have their assets, their personal assets or family assets on the line, that business planning is really key to. But, I mean, even for established businesses, what we find is that a lot of businesses don't do the strategic planning every year or to the extent that they really should be doing. And there's, plenty of data and research that shows the significant increase in revenues, but more importantly, a significant increase in profitability for those companies that do strategic planning on a regular basis. So getting back to this event that's coming up on the 21st, that's part of what we're trying to do is get that out to people to say, hey, there's so many resources that are, in most cases, no cost, resources that are available to you that can help with the planning or even help with the financing once you have the planning, and even also education pieces, which are certainly really important. So
a main way of supporting the downtowns to reverse the decline is to try to build up the small businesses in the area and give them as much resources or education to improve. Are there other things that you do, attract new businesses perhaps, or maybe just allow them to share some information about how to survive?
Sure. Yeah, all of the above. Couple other things that we're doing, though, in particular, we're working with some communities to say, okay, the state has some great resources for small businesses and for redevelopment. And so there are two programs that a lot of people probably, well, at least one that a lot of people might have heard of, and that would be the Wisconsin Main Street program. And so there are a lot of different downtowns throughout Wisconsin who have participated or become a Main Street district. Some communities don't have the resources to become a Main Street because that requires that you would have a board and a paid executive, and I think at minimum you would have to have at least a $75,000 budget or so on up.
Yeah, I can see where that would be tough for some.
Yeah, it can be to have those. And then that's just to manage without marketing and other expenses that would go along with that. So they also have a program called Connect Communities, which you have to apply to. But if you're accepted into the program, and I think typically they might have about 25 programs in any year. Some of these communities will stay for a number of years, and then they may or may not continue with it, but then other communities will apply for that. So in the case of a number of our communities, Elkhorn, East Troy, I think now Delavan is applying, and Lake Geneva had applied. I think Sharon is looking into that as well. But it's a great program because it's not a huge cost to get in. I think it's $200 or $300 per year just to be a part of that. But then there's some requirements in terms of doing some activities you need to have some type of a association with either a chamber board or an economic development agency so that they know that you have some support. But you would also be required to go to at least two or three events statewide that would be educational events on redevelopment. But once you get involved in that program, you have access to an incredible amount of resources and examples of other communities that have done successful activities or added different components. And so, you know, I'm just going to pick Elkhorn, for instance. One of the things that that Connect Communities program worked with the city on was they came up with it's called a building improvement grant program. And essentially mostly for facade improvements, but also some structural or repurposing energy efficiency. Because what we find in these older towns and older buildings is you have a lot of inefficient buildings. And so
Charming, but
they can, even though the rents may be low or lower than some of the more prominent cities or villages, some of the cost for the, just for the, you know, the utilities can be off the charts and sometimes be prohibitive for these smaller businesses. So trying to get the businesses downtown to fix up the facade, make the buildings more energy efficient, and then hopefully the tenants will, you know, have a... And so we're seeing success with that program, and that's not unique. I mean, there are a lot of communities mm-hmm. that have a building facade program, but that's just, you know, one element. And so there are programs like that where you can work with them on creating that. Another community, East Troy, tapped into a community development investment grant, which is it's a great grant program. And really, it's there to target a building in a downtown that might be unoccupied or underutilized or kind of deteriorating, but it's in a key location in the either the downtown area or somewhere nearby. That, you know, the project could be a catalyst for more redevelopment downtown. And so, in East Troy, we worked with the village there and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to connect them with this program. There was a building there that was an old bank that was sitting idle for a number of years and had deteriorated, you know, to some degree, but just a key point in this village square. And so these two local business owners who I think are third or fourth generation residents of the community there. They bought the building and they'd always wanted to have a brewery with a restaurant component. So it's open now, the East Troy Brewing Company, and it looks amazing. They're attracting people from outside of the area, doing, I think, better than they actually expected.
Super.
And it's definitely attracting more people to the downtown. At the same time, there was other development going on, but it's just creating a lot of good momentum downtown. So there definitely are resources like that that can help with the downtowns. And I think part of it is just trying to get a group together of the building owners and the business owners and trying to figure out what it is they want to do. And then our job as an economic development agency is to try to help guide them and connect them with some helpful resources.
And you just brought it back exactly to show really your responsibility in all of this. You personally can't open up your wallet and hand them some money, but you give them resources and you give them connectivity, which is terrific.
Well, and that's a good point. We do have one loan fund that WSEDA operates, and it was a fund that was through a grant program through the USDA that helps with rural development. And it's really geared for businesses under $1 million in revenue, businesses that maybe aren't quite bankable. And what I mean by that is maybe their credit is off a little bit. Maybe they don't quite have as much collateral as they would need for mm-hmm. a traditional loan. And so So we do have that. That's one fund that we do have, and we're able to help businesses. A lot of times what we end up doing is actually partnering with a bank or another lending institution. And why would we do that, you might ask? Well, you know, let's just say, for instance, a business needs $100,000. They go to their bank, and the bank says, well, based on everything that we have here, we can only lend you 75. So they might come to us and say, you know, we need that extra 25, and we're in a position because of that fund and our mission of helping small businesses where we might be able to make that loan for them without, you know, the collateral that would be needed. So we call that gap funding. And so,
okay, gap funding. And do you also lend your good name to the, I mean, are you at all liable for the other $75,000 or
not
at all?
No,
okay,
we're not. But we do try to connect them with any kind of resources that could be helpful again. Like business plan or so there's
afloat.
Exactly.
You all want
that. I just
that.
Mentioned one, but you know, the organization WIBIC that I mentioned before, mm-hmm. they also have lots of planning resources and other expertise that they can advise clients on, especially if they're a loan client. So again, they're a financial institution, and sometimes we'll work with them as well because they may have, you know, limited funds in a particular case, or they're only able to loan a certain amount, and we'll work with them. But any of their clients, even though they charge a higher percentage for their interest rate, their clients then basically get a group of experts, could be CPAs or attorneys or business advisors to help them.
Which
be
is
successful.
Awesome.
It is. I mean, when you're a small business,
you don't know who has the expertise to help you, and you could throw your money down a rabbit hole going to the wrong kind of an accountant and not get good advice. I would think that would just be so, so important.
It is, and so I've been in my role here for 5 years, and when I first came on, like I said, I got a lot of questions about grant money to start a business and, you know, loans and things like that, and how do we get financed. And so, you know, what I was hearing from people was, geez, I know you can get online and you can see there's so many different resources, but you get lost online and you don't necessarily get to a specific person. And so pretty quickly after hearing that so much right off the bat, I pulled together what I just loosely call a business mentor network. And so it was people, resources that I was referring out regularly, like the Small Business Development Center at Whitewater, WIBIC, SCORE, Gateway Technical College, the Walworth County Job Center. And so there's a number, we have a list of about 6 or 8 on there that are, we have a picture of them, all their contact information. We feature them on different events so that people get to know them. And it's been great. I mean, people are so thankful for that, they know where to go. And, you know, I tell people, you know, go to 2 or 3 or 4 of them because you'll get different input. They all have different resources that they can connect you to. And it's all free. So if you have the time to do it, you know, take advantage of that. And that's been really helpful for people to kind of, I mean, there's a list that, you know, is endless really of resources, but I think sometimes it's helpful if they at least start with that. And then we also, you know, the Business Innovation Center up at UW-Whitewater, they also have resources as well. So, I mean, we're lucky that we have in our little small county there, we have Gateway Technical College and UW-Whitewater right in our, you know, those are, I think, underutilized resources. So that's one of my jobs, too, is to try to connect all of our businesses with those resources. Because going forward, we just keep hearing, I came from a conference earlier this morning in Milwaukee, and it's about education and training and working together, and that's how we're going to solve some of these problems, particularly around workforce.
And let's talk about that in manufacturing. I do want to let our listeners know that they are listening to Community Matters. And we're very happy to have Derek DeOria, who is the Executive Director of the Walworth County Economic Development Alliance, or with CDEP, with us today. And we've been talking a lot about small business. And really what I'm getting from it, a lot of what you do is bring together the resources and help businesses help themselves, which is certainly the best way to be successful, and to help individual communities find the resources to help themselves. So a couple of other major groups that you mentioned, you said you have agriculture, hospitality, and manufacturing. And like you say, I think a lot of people are surprised that you have to hear that you have 225 manufacturers. How do they come to you and say, help, or do you have to go to them and say, you need help, or what?
That's a great question. In most cases, we go to them because they, you know, they're dealing with global issues and global pressure. Most of them are competing not so much with their neighboring manufacturer or the community across the way, but it's more overseas or somewhere abroad. And so it's us getting connected with them and finding out what exactly their issues are around workforce, and then trying to connect them with some solutions. So, you know, certainly with the technical college, again, it's such an amazing resource that we have right in our backyard, and also with UW-Whitewater right there, those two resources. But with the Walworth County Job Center and Wisconsin Job Center right there. So it's trying to connect them with the schools as well, because one of the big things that we hear from the manufacturers in particular is that they have a major concern that young people aren't even considering careers in manufacturing. And so, okay, so how do you solve that problem? Well, part of it is you have to get to the youth and get in the schools. But even more than that, you have to get to the parents, because I was guilty of that before working. And in this role, I thought, geez, you know, I want my kids to be, you know, have good lives and be able to provide for themselves and be able to, you know, travel and careers and you know, just have a good life. And you're thinking they have to go to college to do that. And then all of a sudden you look and you look at these skilled trades like manufacturing or construction, healthcare, which are big economic drivers in our county, but across the region, across the nation, and you find out that they don't necessarily need to do that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have people going the four-year track, but
there's something for everyone, right?
Well, there are. And so when you look at even, you know, some of the data about, you know, how many jobs actually require a four-year degree and where the jobs are, what you find out is that, you know, there are a lot of jobs that may require a two-year degree or a certificate. And so, you know, I think part of our role as an economic development agency is to help maybe align those a little bit better, the needs with you know, what we're doing in terms of preparing people for that. So, you know, making sure we let the local K-12 systems know about career opportunities and really trying to let them understand what, if we're talking manufacturing, what does that look like in 2019 or potentially 5 or 10 years from now? And so it's pretty dramatic, you know. Having gone through high school in the 80s, you think of manufacturing as maybe dark and dirty and maybe dangerous. You've heard stories of people losing fingers and things like that. Fast forward to 2019, you go into a lot of these facilities and you could almost eat off the floor. It's clean, it's climate controlled. They're using robots and high-tech CNC machines and things like that. And so one of the things that we did in the county as a way to try to promote the future of manufacturing, is we worked with actually one of the manufacturers there was the driving force behind that, but Precision Plus in Elkhorn. But we said, hey, let's get kids down to the International Manufacturing Technology Show that comes every other year to McCormick Place in Chicago. Let's make it fun for them. So we got them on coach buses. We sent four busloads of kids and teachers down to just to see that. And the thought was, if that doesn't get them excited about manufacturing and the future of manufacturing, nothing will. And the kids were amazed, and same with the teachers. And, you know, we know that that's going back to the parents. And so I think slowly now the parents are starting to realize, you know, that that could be a really good career, that they may or may not need a four-year degree, but they can get started without that. And they're at least starting to let children, you know, think about careers in manufacturing.
Well, and I think what's surprising, too, is how much they can make. And I know you mentioned Precision Plus, and I had an opportunity to do some interviews with them, too, and met a young man who wasn't yet 30, making over $100,000 a year. And I, okay, I signed up for the wrong career. you know, it was... I know that he wasn't an isolated incident.
Well, and, you know, that's interesting, too. And you know, in some cases, that would entail overtime and things
sure.
like that. But
yeah.
You're right. I mean, I hear that all the time, that people that have been there maybe 10 years can be making $80,000 to $100,000 just with a high school degree. Now, typically, they would get more training. So they
right,
might
as
have
they
certificates
go along.
Or different mm-hmm. things like that. But I'll tell you something funny. So when I get talking with people, they'll ask, oh, what do you do? And I'll say economic development. And everybody knows what that is, but they don't really know. Like, it's, okay, well, how do you do that? Or what is it, you know? But when we get talking about manufacturing, it's always funny because people sometimes even get upset with me. Well, why would you be promoting careers in manufacturing? Because it's all going, offshore. And so I have to tell them that actually, you know, we have, I think I had to do a presentation about a year ago, and so I was doing a little bit of research on manufacturing, and it turned out that in 2014 that we're actually, it was the first time that we're actually, more manufacturing was coming back to the U.S. than was going overseas. Now, we still have manufacturing going overseas. But it tends to be the less technical-oriented mm-hmm. Manufacturing. So the manufacturing that we do have here that's coming back is more
requires skilled,
more
right?
Advanced,
yeah.
More advanced. And so it requires more skills, but it also pays better, too. So the jobs that we do have here in manufacturing are paying much better. And so the other thing that I hear is, well, okay, that may be true too, but then, you know, we've got automation and that's going to eliminate jobs. And while it will eliminate jobs, it will keep companies competitive here and they may grow. So, for instance, we had a company that we brought into our manufacturing group to speak to the group, and they were talking about, okay, you know, I've been with the company 15 years. When it first started, we had 250 employees. $20 million in revenue. Now we're $170 million in revenue, and we have only 400 employees. So, you know, the increase in revenue was dramatic, not the increase in employees was dramatic, but they still did increase over that. They're still a viable company. They're paying much more than they were before to the jobs that they do have.
And contributing
more to
the tax base.
They did do that through a lot of automation and incorporation of technology. But what they said they found out that they didn't expect was that that's actually something now, because they use cutting-edge technology and they keep up with it, that's one of their four core values that attracts and retains in particular, young people. And so a lot of manufacturers are having trouble doing that, but that's one thing. So, you know, I think on a number of accounts, you know, it's not true that we're losing, you know, manufacturing. And I think it's, you know, Wisconsin's had a reputation of being number one, number two in the nation for manufacturing. So we have those, that core competency kind of built in almost mm-hmm. to our DNA. and those, you know, that reputation. So I think we can continue to build on that.
So the WSEDA organization still has, you've mentioned really working on training and talent attraction and connecting people with funds and especially training and support in both sectors, manufacturing and general business. What other types of programs do you have that support your business base?
So one of the programs, and it's around workforce development, is that we're heading up for the county is called Inspire, and it's across the region, across the Milwaukee 7 region. And so for those people that don't know what the Milwaukee 7 region means, it's just really the seven counties, starting with Milwaukee County, but it's Milwaukee County, Ozaukee, Washington, Waukesha, Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth. And so the Milwaukee 7 actually has an economic development agency that's our regional agency, and they are heading up Inspire Southeast for the region. And then each county has decided, you know, how they will implement that program. And so we have a dedicated person that is working with that program and also with a program called Made in Walworth County, which is our manufacturing group program. But essentially what the Inspire program is, it's just a tool. It's a web-based program that businesses can create a profile on, and then it allows them to interface very easily with students and teachers and parents, because on the education side, they're using a program called Career Cruising, which is the same company. And it's a great program. It allows kids to do some assessments first to find out, okay, what are their academic strengths, what are their interests, but then what it does is it kind of spits out a number of different career opportunities that they might want to pursue based on that. And what's nice about it is it'll give you the range. So it'll say, you know, you could be, let's say you have kind of like a mechanical interest, it seems like, right? So it might say, okay, you could be a machine technician. And if you pursue that pathway, you graduate from high school and you could get right into a certain field and get some training on the job or at a technical college or whatever. Or it might say that, you know, you might want to look into becoming an engineer. And if you did that, here's the pathway. You'd have to, you know, get your associates and then a bachelor's and potentially a master's or something like that. And everywhere in between, you know. So mm-hmm. It's really, really helpful. It allows the kids, because it's an online program as well, to have their parents sign on with them. So what's nice about Inspire is if they have that in their county, then they can connect with local businesses too. So they might say, oh, okay, I'm interested in engineering. What local companies employ engineers? And then you can see all the different types of, you know, and then you can potentially request, you can ask a question to the company, you know, whatever it might be, how do I get involved or how did you get involved in this, you know, just so they know. Or you can request a job shadow, ask if they do internships. I mean, there's all kinds
of things. That's exciting.
It is, yeah. It's a great – I think it's a great program. It's just kind of getting – for us, it's our second school year. So, you know, first year we did a lot of work with the schools to the teachers, kind of explain what the program is, how it might work, how they can incorporate it into their curriculum and things like that. On the flip side, working with the businesses as well, the – kind of recruit them into the program, help them set up a profile, you know, get them thinking about how to use that. And so what we're finding is, you know, some of the companies were almost, you know, bypassing the program and working with our staff member but what was good is there's interactions happening, and at the end of the day, that's really what we want, because what the data suggests, and not suggests but really says definitively, that if you know, people decide on a career path based on interactions with that career path, and so if you can make those earlier, they can start to understand where they want to go and then make educated, you know, choices of, you know, how they want to get there. Instead of what we hear is what'll happen is you have a lot of kids that'll enroll in a traditional program, academic program, whether it's associates or a four-year program. I think in Wisconsin it's 65% of kids that graduate from high school will enroll in a program immediately after high school. But what's happening is only about 25% of that group is actually getting a degree. So what you have then is 1, 2, 3 years of education but no degree to show for it, and a lot of debt potentially. And then you don't know what you want to do. And then what we find is then they come back to maybe a Gateway Technical and say, okay, well, we know there's jobs in healthcare and manufacturing, construction, or whatever. So if we can, through this program, help them decide that earlier, that maybe college isn't, you know, set for them, or maybe it is, but through giving them experiences with local businesses, we feel that will be valuable to our businesses. And we realize that this program's not going to solve the whole problem, but if we have a 10% positive impact through those efforts, we feel like that would be a huge benefit down the line.
Well,
to our businesses.
It really does make sense when you think about the lost time and spent money on the part of the student and the business that could have used them now rather than 5 years from now. And by getting them on the right path or originally, that seems to make huge amount of sense. And I can see where your manufacturing group would be really grateful to get that kind of assistance.
Well, and, you know, it's frustrating for me as an economic developer because, you know, Walworth County, our focus is heavy on trying to work with the businesses that are already in our county and what can we do to facilitate and kind of prod them along a little bit in terms of growth for our existing businesses, as opposed to, you know, being really focused on attracting new businesses. We certainly do that, but the vast majority of our emphasis is on, you know, trying to get our local businesses to grow. And so when I get out and talk, and I try to get out and talk with 150 businesses during the course of a year. I mean, and it doesn't matter if it's manufacturing or whatever business it is, even hospitality, you wouldn't think, but it's all, you know, they say our biggest obstacle toward growth is human capital in one way or another, whether it's, you know, they don't have the skills or they just don't have enough people to do the job, the workers, whatever it might be, but it gets down to the workforce that they don't have. And so I think to myself, gosh, you know, so they're all saying they could do more business, they could grow if they had more people to help them do that. And so you think, oh my gosh, you know,
you wish you could just go into the high school, kidnap them all,
exactly,
and throw them in there.
Say, you know, here's some really good opportunities, yeah. Growth opportunities that are opportunities that have growth opportunities. And so, you know, that's it, then being a good part of our work in terms of workforce development. And then, you know, in terms of programs, you know, we do have, like I said, an event series that we do with the chambers, but we also do other events just ourselves.
And I know you've got so much going on, and I would invite people to, if they're interested in learning more, to contact you, go to your website, get signed up for your newsletter. I learned a lot from that. That was super helpful. So I would invite people to do that, and I want to thank you for joining us today on Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app.
In the Kenosha Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
Support for classical music on WGTD.